Hello everyone, this is Miss Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit Work.
Hi.
Mick and I are mediums, teachers, healers and authors, and as usual, we'll be bridging the physical world and the spirit world by bringing you interdimensional information that may aid your journey of life. We'll be bringing you knowledge you wouldn't have access to in any other way. We discuss sensitive and difficult topics, as well as light-hearted ones, with the view that armed with knowledge, we can all make better choices and decisions based on awareness and wisdom. Each week, we hopefully help you to understand the meaning of life, when live on air, Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, and Gregory passed from this world 300 years ago. Gregory will be speaking to us today on the subject of fear and doubt, which is actually a chapter in one of our books, The Spirit Within, and we'll explain who Gregory is in a moment, but I think you want to talk about our books, don't you, Mick?
Yes, thanks, Sylv. We have published four books that you can purchase from either our website at www.spirit-teaching.com or amazon.com or any good bookstore. The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and The Journeys of the Inner Songbird, which actually, the last one, you can only get from our website. So just to say a little bit about our books, The Spirit Within, basically, it explains the connection between our spirit self and our physical self, why we are here, what happens when we die, where we go, and how we get there. It explains our connection to all things and shows us how we can become more in tune with our higher consciousness, so we can be guided by our own inner power source and create a more harmonious world in the process. Spirit Walks with Gregory is a map to live a richer life. It teaches us about the nature of our existence on Earth and how we can individually tap into the power within us to change our future for the better. In it, enlightened spirit guide Gregory Hay reflects on our day-to-day lives, offering solutions and insights to problems that we would once have thought were insurmountable. The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery is quite a different book because it's really about how the order and construction of the spirit world works. In it, they reveal about how species and genetics are linked to the spirit, our physical earth, and ultimately our etheric energy in the universe. It explores our evolution on Earth, quantum physics, with extensive pieces on emotion and behavior, mind-thought process, the processes of how we bring images and our consciousness to the spirit world, and how it's all carried on after death. The fourth book is Journeys of the Inner Songbird, which is a reflection of a life once lived on Earth by a soul who loved and fought for those things he believed in concert with his traditions and views. This is actually a book by a man by the name of Silver Fox, and he was a crow. He was actually of the Water Wolf clan, and he lived in Three Forks, Montana, many hundreds of years ago. Actually, at the time he was living there, it wasn't called Three Forks, it was actually called Two Forks. And that was the native way, I guess, and they told it like it is. Anyway, in the book, he tells us of his life, living in balance and harmony with nature and with the Creator. And a lot of people who have bought that book actually use it as a bedtime reading cycle, I think. To go on, we have another show as well in which Sylvie and Gregory and myself run, and it's called The Spirit Teaching Radio Show, and it's on artistfirst.com every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, back to the show. I'm a deep trance medium, and as Sylvie said, I'll be channeling our resident guest, spirit guide Gregory Hay. Gregory will temporarily borrow my body so that he can talk directly to everybody listening live on air. Now, being a deep trance medium means that I have the ability to go into the deep trance state, which allows the spirit team to transport my spirit and my consciousness to the ether world and then use my body as a vessel for direct communication so that another entity can speak directly to you without my mind and thoughts getting in the way. I've kind of gone to sleep, but more than that. So I have no recollection of time or space or anything to do with the event.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They are an educational team consisting of physicists, geophysicists, scientists of all descriptions, along with ordinary people who have something to contribute to the team. And they have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. Anyway, so on with the show. So if Mick's going to get himself ready to go into the trance state. And as we have said, this week's subject of discussion is on fear and doubt. And as we'll be finding out, there's a lot more to these two small words than meets the eye. We've been speaking to Gregory in this way for 11 years now, and everything that we've done has been either with his blessing or instigated by him in the first place. Although he doesn't interfere with our lives in any way and invited, but everything Gregory has to say is because he is the voice for the collection of minds who are trying to help us, the White Cloud Group. He, when he first came through to us 11 years ago, he one of the first things he said to me was that he wanted me to record everything for the purpose of publication, worldwide publication, and that there was an urgency about it. So anyway, I think he's here.
Hello, Fred.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello. Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. And I am so pleasured and honored, as always, to be able to be in this vibration and to speak in once again in the physical form.
Yeah.
Thank you so.
Oh, thank you for coming. Well, this week we thought we'd discuss fear and doubt, and it's something that you talk about often. And basically, you say that it plays such a big part in our lives. And I guess we need to know what exactly you mean by that.
Yes, quite so. Because fear is something that is uppermost on many people's minds in the way that your structure and organization is placed, how your community works, how your civilization is coerced or cornered or marshaled, as it were, along certain thoughts, along certain attitudes that you adopt. So perhaps we must look at how this comes about, because you are party to a great deal of information, constant information, that is brought to you by others, and you would not necessarily, had you lived in another time zone or another period of history, been party to such information. For example, you are witnesses to wars, you are witnesses to atrocities that each of you can bring upon another, and it comes to you alive in your living room, in your house, in your dwelling space. Why do you think that all of this could never have an impact upon you? Of course it will. And it isn't to say that these are things that you should shut away from, but you are a product of your environment, and that is the environment that you create, or that you help to create by your behavior, or by other people's behavior. If you allow other people to rule your life in this way with negativity or ill will, then you will feel the effects of that negativity and ill will. You will feel that it will diminish your soul responsibility, your etheric advantage, your sensitivity of life will be also diminished by the fact that negativity itself is a very paralyzing form of energy.
Yes. Yes, I can see that. I mean, well, it's like we live under a cloud of fear, and so that will make a difference to how we perceive life.
Yes, of course. Now, fear itself has many branches. There are many roads to fear. Many of them that you can become embroiled in your life, simply because you cannot find your way around it or understand it, the effects that it is having upon you.
Mm.
Now, some people may have an actual addiction to forms of fear, and they will use fear as a platform to give themselves energy. So some people, you will find, are actually driven by fear.
Hmm.
It may well be, just the same as you may feel that some people are driven by urgent negativity, that they will feel as though other people are sapping them of their energy. Perhaps when you walk into a room and you can instantly recognize through your sensitivity that someone in the room is creating a negative vibration or a negative instance that has occurred in the room, and you can actually feel the residue from it. This is quite simply because negativity leaves a very energy trace.
Yeah.
And so what you do in connection with your higher self, perhaps your consciousness, your super consciousness, which is the spirit, what you are doing is that you are actually picking up these negative symbols. They are even leaving an actual chemical imbalance in the room. They leave a chemical residue from the different interaction that has occurred by the negativity being in place.
Yes, and everybody in the room can actually feel it. And then sometimes that is why it's hard for everybody in that room to work out where it's coming from, who it's directed to. So everybody feels like being got at.
Exactly so. And of course, negativity itself does not have a sense of self, or does not even have a smell.
No.
Yet, what it produces is pheromonic activity from human beings, or from other animals, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
It is how the different pheromonic activity works between animals. And what you will pick up is this scent, smell of fear.
Hmm. But that's not actually distinguishable, but it's a sense.
It is
in your
a
senses.
Sense. It is possibly distinguishable in that it does have a particular odor.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Because of the pheromonic activity that it produces in human beings.
Hmm.
Or, as I said, in other animals.
Yes, and animals can smell it and sense it or whatever from us if we're scared of them.
Yes, of course.
So it must be. Yes.
Yes, exactly so. And this is why they react the way they do, why a dog or a wild animal will react adversely to you if you are frightened of their situation.
Mm.
It isn't just an eye contact matter.
No.
It isn't just a matter of discerning how the figure in front of you is reacting to you. It is also a matter of the pheromonic activity between the different parties, you understand?
Mm. So that's why you say in one of your books that you say it's like we drift from one fear to another, like a drug, because it is, because of the pheromonic situation that it creates in the body.
Yes, my dear friend, exactly so. And that, of course, is just on the physical level. In the sense of the spirit, it is far greater than that. Because as a sensitive being, even if you are not at this present time a sensitive being and aware of your spirit, you understand, but that at some point you will become that, given the chance. And in that case, when you become a sensitive being, and awareness opens your mind and your sensitivities to the very real possibilities that exist outside of you and outside of your current thinking, your current belief system, then what you are picking up upon is that also, twinned with the pheromonic activity, you will also pick up upon the sensitivity of your spirit. Mm. And this will be that signatures will come to your auric field, mm. and that you will be able to determine what exactly is occurring outside of your physical state, so that you can be driven into some higher action. This isn't a matter of purely instinct, you understand. Although I would have to say that animals themselves, or most other creatures, are far more intact and sensitive to their spirit than humanity is at this present time.
Mm. Yeah.
Of course, it is very difficult to generalize in such matters,
mm-hmm.
But that is a fact. And it is purely because of the instance that, at present, humanity is observing all of these different human traits which are decreasing the vibration that humanity itself lives at. And so mm-hmm. part of what you are seeing in the product of fear, yes, it is many beings who are unhappy, perhaps, in their life for one reason or another, and this creates discontent.
Yeah.
And it creates great negativity because they perhaps perceive a society which dwells and highlights those who have great riches or great accumulations of wealth or material possessions,
mm.
and that material possessions become the signatory of having a happy life.
Yes. Yeah,
and of course, they then feel ostracized mm. from that feeling.
Yes.
Which gradually becomes compounded. I do not have to really tell you all of this, because you probably know it already.
Yes.
But that is how the product ear is released
mm.
within a society.
Mm.
That it will be an imbalance to begin with, that will become more and more difficult to ease, and will bring dis-ease to those who suffer from it.
Yes, yes. And then there's, of course, there's the religion and the fear of not being part of the right herd.
Yes.
As it were.
Indeed so. So religious fear and intolerance, then, is something that is innate within many peoples because of a tribal instinct at first, but also because of this connection, this duality of purpose, whereby one being sees it upon themselves to say that their thoughts and their truth and their belief and faith can only be the right path. Perhaps they get very dogmatic about it. Perhaps they get very insular about it. And this in itself can create great fear among those who do not follow or aspire to that belief system. The problem exists because different religious faiths are missionary driven. And so they will always exercise extreme power over the different gifts that others may have and perceive them either as demonic if they do not fit into their religious standard or status.
Mm-hmm.
Because is it not true that most religious beliefs are exercised in saying that they only have the key.
Mm-hmm.
They are the only ones who have the key, and that all others are denied the throne, the claim of whatever it is.
Mm.
And that can be, of course, to be at the right hand of God or whatever you perceive that to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Creator is at no fault of this, because it is humanity struggling to be above all other beings, to have a hierarchical place that states and underlines the fact that they can do with all other animals as they wish. And of course, it is naturally so at this present time that humanity is the hunter, is the hunter-gatherer supreme upon the earth, and has managed to diminish all others because of the power of mental ability, intellect, that has far outweighed and overdriven the powers of instinct that humanity was originally born with, to such an extent that these boundaries have become reflexive. They have, in fact, extended themselves to such a parameter that it is very difficult to see where exactly it will end, which is perhaps why you feel most justified in using all animals for whatever purpose it is that befits you, and that you take absolutely no second thought as to what their feelings might be, or you even perhaps place your judgment upon other animals, stating that they are lesser or unworthy of you. And that will make you, or help you to feel much better about what your acts are actually involving in their lives.
Yes.
So, what we are saying, dear friend, is that the actual parameter of fear comes from so many different aspects of your lives. What you see is religious intolerance and dogmatic indifference to the plight of some sections or tribes of your community, perhaps because they do not speak the same language or do not worship the same book. And these things actually bring great disharmony to the folds of humanity. Because, in truth, dear friends, in the spirit world, there is no religion. There is none of it. Only what you as individuals bring with you to our side of life. If you gradually begin to realize the true status of the spirit world once you are here, it may be that at some point in your life you will come to a different knowing and understanding and be able to leave those shackles of indoctrination, leave them to one side, because all they do is bring and harbor fear. Fear of one another. The other point that we wish to make is that of the fear of other races, racism. This in itself has always been uppermost in the way in which humanity drives itself forward, how it conquers different countries. Tribal instinct, yes. Some would say even an animalistic instinct to overcome and subjugate another so that you may use them either for a food source or use them to do your bidding. And this, of course, is something that has, throughout humanity's earth history, that they have gradually accumulated a pile of the do's and don'ts, the poor history that has made some feel they are less worthy than others just because of the color of their skin. Once again, this is not something that people suffer from in the spirit world, because it only exists in physical form. People do fear one another. At times, these fears grow depending upon how the community, how the environment is working. In some portions of your present country, for example, it may well be that they have a fear or a growing fear of nature, the natural world, as it impacts once again upon your fragile society. But what really, dear friends, is happening to this problem? It may be is that the planet is merely regaining those places that were taken. If you must live in a place below sea level, for example, then what are you to do? How are you to say that your existence is always to be bona fide? If you drain the land, shall we say, from some vast riverbed, how can you not expect that the planet at some point will once again reflood the land simply and purely because that is the way that the land was formed? It makes a nonsense of what humanity are trying to do in the one place, in trying to beat back the folds of nature, and yet they're relinquished in some really ugly moments when you perhaps least expect them or when you are least well prepared for them. These issues will always bring a fear to people, and it is not to say that this is something of the spirit world doing. It is just a part of your physical earth changes, the way that the balance works. If you bring disharmony, if you bring poison and pollution to your side of life, then you must expect the planet to retaliate in some way, to actually have an answer to the problem that it faces, because you have changed the balance to becoming an imbalance in its own self. And as it struggles for a release, what it does is bring about change.
So we need to be more aware of this situation and think harder about where we do situate ourselves and actually start planning for the future because obviously this, you know, the Mother Earth is going to be adjusting herself and realigning herself for a while yet, and I guess this has got to be a bit of a wake-up call, really.
Yes, my dear friend, but of course, and it may be that some fear will come to the surface, rightly so, perhaps, because it may be necessary to bring that to the surface in order for anyone to actually pull their heads up out of the sand to do something about it.
Yeah, to make a decision one way or the other. We have to know.
Yes.
We have to feel fear to a certain extent, don't we?
Of course. It is a natural fight or flight instinct, which I do believe is the next point that we need to bring up.
Yes, I think so. And, you know, I mean, animals are in tune with that fight or flight, and yet with us, we seem to have gone haywire with it.
Yes, my dear friend. If you look at it this way, that in the animal kingdom, fight or flight means that in the genetic balance of life, only certain strains of a particular species will survive because they have the strength and the agility and the knowledge, perhaps, to overcome certain hurdles that are placed before them. So with the antelope, there will be those who can jump or run the fastest or furthest, those who are able with their agility to turn a corner at an alarming speed, perhaps. There will be whose genetics are brought into perfection through mutation, because that is really what genetics is doing all of the time. And you yourselves, as a human species, are gradually mutating. You are all mutants. All of us were at some point. Mutants from a another form, another species. Because gradually, being tied to the earth, you as humanity formed from a different collection of species. And that you gradually evolved. And that is exactly what evolution is it not? It is really that a mutation becomes stronger than the original that you are cast from. And so you feel, then, rightly so, that you have a greater ability in some way or another. And so this actually produces that the dominant forces of fight or flight, exonerated in the nature principle of your side of life, is clearly seen in humanity, and yet with humanity in the way that it cares for and nurtures all folk, if that is that particular society's offering to one another, then it will be that many different peoples who would ordinarily in the animal kingdom, in the genetics of fight or flight, would not have survived, do so. And so you have a greater difficulty with those who can cope with different situations and those who cannot. This brings conflict in itself. And it also brings great negativity, purely and simply because there will be always some who feel they were born without. That they lacked the certain things that others take for granted. And so resentments build because of that cause and effect. And it is always the same when societies become very entangled in their genetic soup, if you like, that what you will see is that even though you are actually living a longer life, I mean to say, when I was on your side of life, most people did not really live beyond 50 years of age. And so you can see, particularly, of course, if there were some chronic diseases around at that time, cholera or typhoid or whatever that was, that sadly are still prevalent today on your side of life in certain countries. I would have thought you would have wiped it out by now. But that is a by-the-by. So it is to say then, dear friends, that because certain people have these feelings of what they should or should not expect in their life, because that is what you are taught to expect, then it means that whenever they fall short of that expectation, they feel negative. And that all beings do suffer from this from time to time because of the stress and strain that you put yourselves through. The other greater fear that we wish to discuss with you very briefly is that of the fear of a particular tribe, perhaps, against other tribes, that then ignites into one country against another country. Or one set of people's feeling isolated and so become aggressive because of their isolation. Perhaps because they have adopted a land or a principle beyond their reach. Or they have just merely walked in and taken it from someone else. Then one could say that fear actually can become interbred between different parts of that racial group. You will see a genetic alteration that only is altered occasionally, so that instead of there being a rough proximity between those who are negative and those who are positively displaced, you will actually have a greater amount of people who are violent or who are aggressive in their stance or their belief or their religious intolerance, shall we say, can even play a part in this displacement. So what you have through the breeding of fear is that children actually become far more aggressive and intolerant of anything because they are narrowly educated and pigeonholed, as it were, into a certain set of thoughts. This in itself will bring the inclination towards violence and the driving of fear. Because this in itself can become like a drug to them. They will see the reaction they are gaining from their actions. And just like anyone who is in the negative zone of their life, that once they begin upon this path, it is very difficult to turn it around or make them face the other way.
I mean, you say that doubt is driven into us when we are small and reaffirmed by those around us. Well, I'm fear.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a classic situation of that type of thing, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. And of course, doubt then, shall we say, is the real essence of the perception of self, is it not? It is how you feel at one time diminished by your own self state or your persona towards someone else or toward the group in which you belong. So perhaps religious intolerance may create doubt, self-doubt upon the person. It is empowering, perhaps, in some ways, to those who want to understand or who want to take upon themselves every arm of that religion. But if you do not have the freedom thought of mind to be able to make up your own answer or to be able to come to your own understanding of what that thought is, if it is just rigorously structured, in some cases it makes people feel safe, and in other cases it can actually bring a cast of own self-doubt, a feeling of worthlessness, a feeling of unworthiness, even, to be in a part of that group.
Yeah. Well, I'd say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. So basically, doubt is just a wobbly truth, you said. Said that in your book, and you say that we've wobbled from one ideology to another. I think that's wonderful. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes, of course. To begin with, when you were children, you, each of you, were given a set of parameters, if you like, by your parents through your behavior that was found to be acceptable by them or rejected by them. And so you had this beginning scenario of your life, of how you could behave in a given situation. So we can say that it becomes your first truth, that of your morality, that you are honor bound to reach the borders of and not step beyond. What you have in your life, in fact, and gradually allow to impact upon it, is that different scenarios throughout your life bring around changes. And this makes you wobble from what you thought and believed was truth or rightful, because of the fact that you are reacting to the mindset of someone else, to their behavior, their wants and desires, their need, is something that is being expressed upon you. And so what you end up in doing is allowing different energies to infiltrate what you saw as being right and wrong. I suppose you can say that it is part of the creation of the individual to bring to them an understanding through consequence and action, through what they have become invigorated by in their life or what they have rejected through different relationships and different actions that have been played out.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that during these times, you perhaps perceive a certain ideal of what you wish to achieve in your perception of what truth is. So when you come upon what truth is, you polish it for a while. You find it thrilling to view or sense or take into yourself. And you find it comforting to know that you have found something of beauty and something that is precious. It can be anything. It doesn't matter what it is, what that truth is, so long as it is something that affects you on a personal level.
Hmm.
What you, in fact, then identify with is that throughout your life, different people place these different strains upon what you understand as is your precious doorway to what truth is, you see? And so as you wobble from one ideology to another, from one mindset of one person who you may hold dear at that time to another
mm-hmm.
that you meet in your life, and all of you, all of us, are always going to be a production of that interaction in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have real self-doubt and feel that your life is worth less than theirs, that you are in fact allowing them to overpower you with their energy, with their status of hierarchy, then it means that you are allowing them to rule your life, to take precedence over it, to actually take away the precious truth that you have.
I'm sure lots of people can identify with that.
Well, yes, perhaps so.
In lots of different ways.
Absolutely, because it arises in so many different predicaments
mm-hmm.
that you bring yourselves into.
Mm.
It can be in whatever you conduct,
mm.
Whether it is business or personal relationships or whatever that is. What you are always doing is either succumbing to your partner because it is easier to do that than to fight for what your truth is, that precious piece that is you. And that instead of doing that, I'm not saying that you should necessarily, because you are trying to seek a harmonic balance through life. Many will even lie down and say that they have had enough.
Well, I mean, schooling is a typical, difficult situation for many people because you are pigeonholed, and the fear of not making a grade or the expectation of your peers, whether it's parents or school or society, is very difficult.
Yes, absolutely so. It puts, in a sense, an unnatural strain on the relationship of self, of the child, and their childhood, their ability to grow and learn and create in their own way.
Mm.
Instead of creating in their own way, they are perhaps forced to create in the ways of those who have more powerful minds.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So.
And so you end up with a cloned version of the powerful mind.
Mm. Yes.
Not their own individualism at all.
No.
And that is, of course, perfectly well and natural if that is what you want from your life.
But belief is a knowledge that has not yet found truth, for the very word belief intimates there is reason for doubt.
Yes.
But you're one of your sayings from, I think it's the spirit within.
Yes.
Can you enlighten us on what you mean by that?
Of course.
Please.
Belief is merely that. It is something that is perhaps partly established in the mind, the way that you have put together an idea that you have coated it with certain things that feel are suitable, that you have dressed it up in an ideology. A belief is something that is perhaps intangible because it has so many arms to it, yet is something that is confined to a certain outlook. So one can say that one has a belief, but that it is not necessarily an identity of knowledge or of truth, because they are completely different things, not just different words, but they have such a vast difference in their meaning. If you say that you believe in something, then there has to be an element of doubt, because you either know that something exists or that you doubt it. And if you doubt it, then perhaps another word for doubt is belief, because you are not completely certain that a belief is a truth, because it hasn't reached that stage. It hasn't grown that far. It hasn't got that amount of knowledge behind it. So we always say that belief is not truth, and most certainly lacks knowledge. If you have knowledge and truth, then it becomes fact, not belief.
And there is only truth or lies, only truth or negativity.
And there is only truth or lies. That is correct. And it is not to say that this is a truth only according to one person's mind or one superior being's mind, but it is to say that this is a truth law of the universe, so that when one comes upon a truth, an infinite truth, it does not have a belief behind it. It just is full of knowledge, is identified by the very brightness of it, by the ability for people to identify with it at any particular angle, any particular way of looking upon it. So it is not a belief, but a truth.
And you say that fear is big business in our world, and I guess one of the biggest businesses is death, really. And the fear of death is, I mean, really, it's something that is there just sort of lurking in the background from when you're very, very tiny. And I think that's one of the biggest fears, isn't it? It sort of underpins most things.
Yes, my dear friend, particularly perhaps because the fear of death is there because everyone is going to go through it. Every single one of you will pass through the veil of death to our side of life. And yet, many of you deny that our side of life exists, purely and simply perhaps because you see yourselves as just a slab of meat that are walking around at this particular time, having life, using life in whatever way you wish, and then at the end of it, you are full of skepticism and feel that the end is just the end. And of course, in a physiological way, that is true. You are done with your physical body, or it has done with you. And so what you bring into your conscious awareness, perhaps through those thoughts, is that you feel empty and surrounded by nothing, because you feel nothing, because you are not in touch with who you are.
So how do we discern what is actually fear and doubt-driven thinking? Because it's a way of life for us.
Because it has become a way of life. Yes, of course. It may be that, for example, some people's Native Americans, perhaps, or Aborigines, or others, other racial groups, they feel fear just by the presence of another race.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something that has been genetically implanted within them because they are beaten, because they feel inferior.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, does not mean to say that they themselves fear death, fear physical passing, because they may have a very strong understanding, genuine understanding, of their spiritual awakening.
Mm.
And their own innate sensitivity of their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, in fact, have no fear. But they have no fear only of the process of death, because they know where they are going. Why on earth would you want to continue upon the path of human state and wickedness if you do feel that when you pass, that you will be no more? Of course, it is natural that some people will use this as a prerogative, if you like, of why they are behaving in a specific way, because there is nothing, no one's going to harm them until they pass.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, after that, it doesn't matter, because no one is there to watch over them.
Mm.
And of course, there are many religious groups who talk a good talk, shall we say, on what death is and how that you can only surmount death if you join their religious excuse or their religious indoctrination. And because perhaps that is the only key that exists in their lives. It doesn't mean to say that you are less powerful for not doing it, for not taking part. Surely, it is really becoming more obvious that an individual who makes their own mind without persuasion is someone who is looking at their own critical mass and is able to function without the impaction of someone else's mind upon them.
I think a huge fear for us as well is, for many people, is that we're fearful of what we're doing to each other.
Yes.
And fearful that there's not going to be any justice for that. And some people take their whole life, and they are quite willingly to do that, take their whole life to make sure somebody pays for something.
Yes.
People don't actually get away with things, do they?
No. You would call it perhaps reciprocated justice. In that, in the spirit world, when you finally come to our side of life, you will have to bring out all of those good and bad deeds that you have done. Everything that you have said, felt, actioned upon yourself and those of others. Everything you have to atone for. All of those bad deeds, those ill deeds, the negativity that you have brought upon others, you will have to atone for. Make no mistake about it. But it is not that there is someone who sits in judgment upon you. Because the only judge that can be there is you. If you come to the spirit world thinking that, well, that's all right, then I'm going to be my judge, I'll just say I'm very nice, thank you, and that'll be it. It won't, of course, because your doorkeeper, who has walked every step of the way with you, every action that you have created, has been noted by your doorkeeper, and that when you are in the spirit world, when you are giving your recount of your life, then what you will have is your doorkeeper who has written it all down, who has kept notes upon everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, my dears, the hint will be that if you do not tell the truth at this time, you will have to do it all again. You will have to go back to this place where you have to recite your life again and again. You will have to recite your life until you admit to your faults and your truth life.
Mm.
Because if you do not, you will not move forward in the spirit world. You will not go anywhere in the spirit world if you do not face the truth of your actions. And it is why your actions now are what will hold you back in the spirit world if they are negative or ill-conceived or full of dis-ease upon someone else or something else.
So we just have a couple of minutes here. How do we go about actually taking a look at ourselves and coming to a different conclusion then, knowing and recognizing fear and doubt is something now, maybe now we've talked about this, but what can we do? How do we know the truth when we see it?
The truth when you see it will shine upon you. It will be obvious what the truth is. You do not have to have it pounded into your head as to what the truth is. It is not stating about what your inner morality should be, but that what you will address as being your purest thought, your purest feeling. What is your inner sense of beauty? If it doesn't exist, then surely it is time that you looked for it. If you feel it is not present in your life, then make an effort to investigate where that truth could be.
And we're going to be doing that on our next show. We're going to be telling everybody how they can find their truth and their inner beauty.
Yes, dear friend.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you so. And it is with love and affection, as always, that we leave you at this time.
Thank you so. Thank you. There we are. Gregory's handing back his mixed body to himself, handing his breathing over. I expect you could hear. And, I hope you've enjoyed that. And, you know, our mission statement is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit and to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and well-being of the planet. And to actually communicate like this is just so important. To become a bigger voice, to uplift everybody and to know that all these things and feelings that we feel are just so natural, and to understand where they come from, have that analyzed by somebody else who's looking in on us, then it's just so refreshing, and we can just take a different perspective on these subjects. And I'd just like to say, don't forget to go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Our book available in the shops, on Amazon, and listen to audio shows. And
hi.
Would you like to say hello before we go?
Yeah,
we're just going now.
I was just going to say about the radio shows. They're hopefully going to be progressive.
Yes.
In what they bring out.
Yeah. So we hope you've enjoyed the show, and until next time, be peaceful. Be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.
Good night.
Good night.